T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in. Going to be a busy weekend. A lot of headlines. Braves, of course, opening a series tonight. SunTrust Park against the Nationals. We've been mentioning it, but it bears repeating that for the evacuees, if you're in town from North Carolina, South Carolina, and you found us here at the home of the Falcons, the Braves, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, offering free tickets while they last to those of you with North Carolina, South Carolina. You know, if you're in here for your free tickets to the Braves and Nats this weekend while they last. Kennesaw State also offering free tickets to its game tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. I think it's 5 o'clock start at Kennesaw State, which, by the way, I know that many of you don't know, but it's great college football. KSU is a great program. Stadium's fabulous. They're playing Alabama State at Kennesaw State, which is just north of where the Braves play. So if you are in that area, you can.
North. It's like a nice little ride, so.
You're right. I mean, probably 15 miles. Yeah.
That's a nice little ride, John. Yeah, 15 miles is a nice little ride.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about traffic and whatnot. But if you have one of those North Carolina speed passes, you can use the Peach Pass lane too. So anyway, we got a lot to chop up. The Falcons at home on Sunday. Our coverage begins at 11 a.m. with the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Then 1 o'clock kick against the Carolina Panthers. As the Falcons and Panthers renew their this rivalry been going on. How long have the Panthers been in the NFL? I want to say mid-90s, right? I mean, so.
Yeah, 95, 94.
95 maybe? Yeah, right in there.
94, 95?
Yeah. 1993, October 26, 93.
Okay. Look at me, year off. I was a year off.
Yeah, see, he's got it. The Falcons, as we get ready for this game, both teams banged up. Boy, man, are they both banged up. Carolina banged up, the Falcons banged up, but the Falcons may be without Devontae Freeman, and Dan Quinn talking about Devontae not practicing again. He's got a knee. He's sore. And as a result, Devontae Freeman may not be available.
We're going to let Free go the whole week and have a better sense tomorrow of where he's at. And I'll have a good idea for you tomorrow. But we're going to let it kind of go the whole thing. We'll hold him today, and then we'll see what it looks like into tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow being today, obviously. This is from yesterday. And if they can't have Devontae go, it'll be up to Mr. 1A.
We've been down this road before if it gets to that, where Tev can, you know, certainly handle that. And we've done it the other way where Freeze had to when Tev's not. I mean, obviously, we like them both together because then we think we feature, you know, the uniqueness of, you know, the balance of them.
You know, I know that Andy Bunker last night, Hugh, was talking a little bit about, does Sark's offense work better rather with one feature back than with two backs? Kind of because it's just, you know, he was trying to make the point and he came up with it. I guess he didn't and was digging through the numbers. And it seems like when you just kind of feature one back that there's, I guess, maybe there's two different sets because you used Tevin in a different way than you used Devontae.
John, I didn't catch that. But I think the thing that you're trying to say is we need to figure out something with this offense. We need to figure out how we can get it going.
Right.
And I know you were trying to.
I know. That's where we're going. But it's over here and around the corner.
You were trying to say it in the nicest possible way and trying to, you know, piece together or figure out who works better with this offense. Last night, watching the games and watching the quarterbacks play, it just it made me wonder, like, wow, like with the precision passes of the Red Rifle and some of the passes that Joe Flacco threw last night, it just made me like, wow, why can't our offense run the same way, especially like in the red zone? It's execution.
Mm-hmm.
It's execution, and it's one of those things where, you got to get it together this week, bottom line. And Tevin Coleman is going to be the featured back, and hopefully he can get the running game going. If Tevin Coleman gets the running game going, fine. We'll figure it out. You know, Devontae, when he gets healthy, he'll come back, and we'll take it from there. But we just need to get the running game going.
You start to think of that in terms of the offense. Who's? I mean, besides Ryan, obviously Ryan's the key. He did not play well in week one. But is the key guy Julio again, or is the key guy maybe Calvin Ridley? Or
I will say this. The key to get the running game going, John, has to be the offensive line. It has to be. They have to give Matt Ryan the time that he needs to execute the plays that he needs to execute. It starts there. It always starts with the trenches. And when you have games like that where the quarterback is misfiring and he's having trouble, you know, going through his progressions and getting the receivers, you have to be able to protect him a little bit longer. You got to give him the time that he needs. And that's the biggest thing. But on the flip side of that, quarterback got to make plays too.
Yeah, well, and Matt Ryan was talking about that. I mean, he's talking about that defensive line. Just what Hugh was talking about, because that defensive line, even though starter Lutulele's gone, they now have our old buddy Dontari Poe to go alongside Kaywon Short.
They look good, you know, for sure. Obviously, you know, Poe being here last year, he's a talented player, works hard, very stout on the inside. And then having played against Short for a long time, I mean, he's a good player and physical. You know, he's disruptive in the run game. He's disruptive in the pass game. We certainly have to account for both those guys on the interior.
Yeah, you do have to account for both of those guys and try to make, you know, creases available for Tevin Coleman. Because the one thing, you know, it's interesting to me, because when Tevin Coleman came out of college, you know, because my wife is an Indiana fan, I watched Tevin play virtually every game he ever played at Indiana, because, you know, we watched the Indiana games, Hugh. And what struck me about Tevin Coleman and what I was saying when he was first drafted by the Falcons was, what you're going to like about this guy is he's such a big home run hitter. He's that one guy who gets that one step and he has gone to the house, which is what he did in college. He hadn't really done that so much in the NFL. He's had some big plays, don't get me wrong. You know, he's had big downfield plays, but he hasn't been quite as big a home run hitter as I thought he might be.
I would say this. The reason why you haven't seen that, John, because he hasn't had as many opportunities to do that. I'm old school when it comes to certain things about football. You got to be out there to get a feel for the game and you know, to be able to do your thing. Tevin Coleman might be a little bit of a throwback when it comes to that. Now, we've seen flashes of him. He hits the hole. He's a different runner than Devontae Freeman in the sense that Devontae Freeman's not a dancer, but he's a more of a guy that takes his time to hit the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Tevin's like a rocket. He hits, he sees it, and he goes. He's more of a downhill, north-south kind of guy. He looks a little bit more explosive. Not saying that Devontae's a bad back. It's just that they're different styles of runners.
Right.
Different styles of runners. And I would say Tevin is more of a straightforward kind of runner. Like, you know, one cut and go.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he is, and he's fast. He's fast, so it's a little bit different brand. But I think that this week, with him being the featured back, you'll get a chance to see how good he could potentially be.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that we're talking about with Tevin Coleman now probably getting the bulk of the carries of 80 to 90% of it. We'll see how this all kind of works for Steve Sarkisian's offense. Now, that's that side of the football. We got to get the offense going. The other side, much has been made this week about the absence of Keanu Neal for the remainder of the year and for Debo for about half the year. That means KZ, that means Duke Riley, and it means the other guys too. I mean, it's fair to say that KZ and Riley are going to have to step up their game. But that also puts pressure on the other guys to perform, Devondre, or, you know, we talked about Oluokun, or we certainly talk about the guys in the secondary, like, for example, Rico Allen, who, as the quarterback of the secondary, for lack of a better term, is going to have to take on an even bigger role, especially with those younger guys like he did a couple of years ago. And Hugh had a chance to talk a little bit about the situation with the Falcons secondary and defense with Rico Allen.
Rico, tell me a little bit, what was it like to be back there playing with Keanu Neal?
Oh, man, it's just, you know, that's been my partner for a while, man. You know, he's the enforcer. He goes down and he fights all the offensive linemen and the big boys down in the box. And I do a lot of the movement work. I do a lot of the covering of the running backs, the slots, and, you know, playing in the middle of the field, man. And, you know, we understood what we both did very well, and we made sure we did that.
You know, speaking of that, I know it's going to be tough to not have Keanu Neal out there, but in the same week, you lose my man Deion Jones, the linebacker in the middle.
Yeah.
What is it going to be like? What did he bring to the table when he was out there playing that middle position?
You know, first of all, he's probably one of the fastest person, if not one of the, you know, fastest on the team, you know, on the defense. So you have that in the middle linebacker. And then he just had so much command of the defense. He was able to guard really any position on the field. You can guard the running backs, wide receivers. He was just a different type of beast in the middle of the field. But, you know, we lost him too, so we're going to have to get ready to roll with somebody else, man. Not saying that we're just moving on and we're just leaving them back in the dust, but you know how this game goes, man. You got to be ready to have somebody else up and rolling.
I definitely get that. So now with Deion Jones being out for who knows how long he's going to be out, how much more
of the defense, because I know you are the captain of the defense, but how much more responsibility do you have to have with Deion Jones not being on the field?
Oh, man, I still try to do my job. I think most of them know, you know, majority of the time what they do and what they have to get done and stuff like that. But, you know, just in case they ever have like a brain fart or something was to go wrong, I'm always there for the support, man. You know, I know it inside and out. So if they ever need help, I can go out there and I can set fronts and I can go out there and I can get linebackers in the right gap. I can do it all over again. I used to have to do it when they were young bucks, so I can do it again.
Yeah, that's right, because you're the old head now.
Yeah, man, I'm a year five and I'm the old head.
Yeah, he is the old head. And he's such an integral part. That's why he got the big contract. We like us some Rico Allen, and Rico's going to have to ball out this year.
It's going to be interesting to see what type of It's going to be interesting to see how the Carolina Panthers attack this Atlanta Falcons defense, because you have two key players out. You know, like Rico said, Keanu Neal played in the box a lot, a thumper. Mm-hmm. And I know Devontae Kazee is going to be out there, and he's been, you know, playing that position quite a bit. But the guy that I'm going to be watching this weekend, John, is Duke Riley, because Duke has played in the preseason, but he hasn't played that position in a real game situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never played linebacker, but I know, like, sometimes dropping back in coverage and everything, it's a lot going on, and your head can be spinning like a top. And it could get rough real fast. So it's going to be interesting to see how Carolina moves this front and how it runs its routes, especially when you're in zone, to try to confuse him. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles that and what Rico's going to have to do to try to help him out and help him adjust to being in that middle position.
You know, and it's going to be interesting to me, because I'm going to be focused on Tack and Vic. Look, Carolina's got its own injuries. I mean, they don't have Trey Turner. They don't have Darrell Williams. They've lost two guys off the offensive line. They've lost their star tight end, Greg Olsen. And, you know, their offensive line is a shell of what it used to be. And I think if those two guys on the edge can get pushed up the field, contain Cam Newton as best they can, and force him to step up into the pocket, into the throws of guys like Grady Jarrett, you know, that can be an effective weapon to helping. You know, you could kind of – Hugh, you know this better than anybody. You play the position. You can help those guys at linebacker and in the secondary by making sure that Cam Newton doesn't beat you.
Yeah, he's a special player, man. But with that being said, John, like, that middle linebacker position and not having Deion out there, Deion was a big factor in a lot of those games played against Carolina. So it's going to be interesting to see what Cam sees from Duke Riley, how they're going to try to get him. What kind of player is he? Is he an aggressive player, or is he one of those players that kind of sits back and tries to read the whole field and before he react kind of guy? Or is he just one of those guys, he just hits the first thing that he sees, and if they're going to try to fool him on a lot of plays with that tomfoolery, like show him run and then, you know, try to get behind him with a tight end or something, you know, throw something over his head. So it's going to be interesting to see how they attack him.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fascinating game between two rivals. And if you're from Carolina and you're in town and you're listening to the Falcons station here this morning, you know, we have a respectful rivalry with you. I think that, at least as a Falcons fan, that's kind of how I look at it. It's not the rivalry that we have with Swamp People. That's a little bit of a different guy, different animal, because that thing is little bit more nasty between us. This is the more respectful rivalry. Is that fair to say, Arthur? I mean, you're from down in the swamp. I mean, you know what it's like down there. Their attitude towards us and our attitude towards them, right?
No comment.
Okay, you got me. But having said that, there is smack talk going on. So the biggest care, I saw this morning. I was right before the show. I was, running around, the Charlotte Observer and Cat Scratch Reader and some of their blogs. Cat Scratch Reader is sort of their Falcoholic. It said keys to the game, according to the Major Panthers blog here. The Major Panthers blog this morning says the keys to beating the Falcons are don't get beat deep, pressure Matt Ryan, and here's the third one. Leave Julio Jones wide open in the end zone. Jones is apparently physically incapable of catching red zone touchdowns.
Oh, ouch.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, the game's not in Carolina.
I know. They linked that video. That was a shot. But Matt Ryan is one for his last 20 throwing the ball in the red zone.
And again, last night, I know I cannot be the only Falcons fan out there that watched that game last night, Thursday night game, and thought, wow, both teams look real efficient in the end zone, in the red zone, especially Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals and A.J. Green, for that matter. I mean, boy, they were balling. I mean, and it looked effortless. It looked effortless the way that they handled their business. Listen, this is not me trying to be, you know, a Debbie Downer. No, I'm not, Wendy. I'm just saying. I just looked. I cannot be the only one. I know everybody else looked at that and was like, wow.
Well, yeah.
Is that easy?
I agree with you.
I always take Thursday night football with a grain of salt, though. I mean, defense doesn't normally play very well on Thursday night football games.
It's the Baltimore Ravens. Isn't that kind of their M.O.?
A.J. Green did have 3 touchdowns last night, though. How many Julio Jones?
You saw Baltimore in week one, and they were great.
Tell the truth.
How many Julio Jones have?
Yeah, I mean, well, it looked like, hey, listen, I pulled no punches here. Matt Ryan's got to play better. Dude's got to play.
No, I'm just saying, man. $130
million worth of nothing for game one.
It was like, wow. I mean, well, he was 5 for 5 in the red zone. Like, he came, like, every drive, he came down the field, scored.
Mm-hmm.
Every drive.
Right.
And you're like, wow. And they were well out of their first 15 on probably what, the third touchdown. They were into their offense. They were into their offense. So I'm just, you know, I'm glad I stayed up to watch that game last night. Paying for it a little bit this morning though, but I'm happy I stayed up.
Yeah, that's going to be our subject next as we go around the NFL and tell you some of the headlines, including Aaron Rodgers and whatnot, and the AFC North being upside down. As well, you could tune into the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers, 11 a.m. Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, sponsored by Bud Light, a game day's favorite light lager. It's Hugh and Mike Connie live from the AT&T Perch beginning at 11 a.m. Ahead of the 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All right, the NFL is next. Hall of Fame, bunch of Falcons, former Falcons who have ties to this team and nominated for the Hall of Fame. Who's on that list? We'll tell you next with John and Hugh.
What went right?
All good.
And what went wrong?
I'm telling you what I expect from my entertainers.
Taking a look back at the Falcons game with Falcons Friday.
Our Falcons play here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Friday and week 2 of the NFL season already underway. Guess who's 2-0 and leads the way in all the standings of the league right now in the National Football League? That would be the Cincinnati Bengals. The first team to 2-0 this season. I always like to get off. You, everybody wants to win that opener, but there was always something about getting off to a, when I was, you know, just as a fan, when your team got off to a 2-0 start, it was like, ah, now you almost got a game to play with, you know? That's that little jump at the beginning of the season where you're going, yep.
And it's a good feeling, man. I'm pretty sure in Cincinnati, you know, after the game last night, some of the cats probably hit the club and hung out, you know, get out for the weekend, and everybody was happy hanging out in downtown. I mean, it's a good feeling to win. It's a good feeling to win in your city and to go out in your city and feel like the conquering hero. So, yeah, that's a great feeling.
And especially when you get a division win, because the AFC North is upside down this morning. Baltimore Ravens took one on the chin. Andy Dalton and A.J. Green. If you had either one of those on your fantasy team, you had a big night because Andy Dalton had 4 touchdown passes, 3 of them to A.J. Green.
Shotgun snap. Dalton in the pocket. Throws it toward the left side of the end zone. Caught for a Bengals touchdown. A.J. Green for the first time in his magnificent NFL career has 3 touchdowns in a game. And it's only 2 minutes into the second quarter.
Yeah, Bengals radio is wondering, how many is he going to get? 6 tonight?
But wait a minute. I thought that when you do radio, that you're supposed to keep your emotions in check. That don't sound like they kept their emotions in check.
Well, not when you're a home guy. You can homer it all you want.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can go full homer.
Well, I commend. I can't. Dave and Wes, they're not homer-fied. Not really. Well, Dave gets a little excited. He gets a little excited. All right, then I digress. I'll leave it alone.
Larry Munson, you know. I mean, Larry Munson, God love him. Right, Arthur?
Steve Holman.
Steve Holman.
My man.
Steve Holman. Off Steve, the love of God. See,
Dennis Schroeder, for the love of God.
No, but Steve's a little different, though. Steve's in a different category when it comes to that.
There was another non-call against the Hawks.
That young official. I love Steve.
For the Cincinnati Bengals, that 34-23 victory over the Baltimore Ravens pushes them to 2-0 and atop the AFC North. For Andy Dalton, 4 touchdowns and a big night at home.
We came out hot, exactly how we wanted to start the game. Big win for us. I mean, to put us 2-0, start the year. We got a leg up in the division, which is good. So, you know, it was exactly what we wanted to do. And to finish it off, great win for us.
Yeah, it was a great win for them. So, yeah, AFC North, you got Cincinnati 2-0, Baltimore 1-1, and then you got Pittsburgh and Cleveland both at 0-0-1 with the Steelers. The Steelers are an interesting story. Man, you know, Big Ben's all kind of dinged up. He's got a shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Missed another day of practice. Le'Veon Bell, AT reminds me, not shoulder, elbow. The Le'Veon Bell tweeted out at James Conner, the running back who had the 135 yards of two TDs last week about, you know, hey, yeah, you go, young buck. And that Le'Veon, you know, because people are talking about Le'Veon, you know, missing another game, Hugh, and another 864,000. And the Le'Veon is saying, look, I love my teammates. I'm going to shout at them. I mean, I love the team. I want them to win. This is just a money dispute. Well, it's not. This is what I don't get. Ain't going to get no better for you, Le'Veon. You're just costing yourself almost $1 million a week. You're not getting any more out of them. Does this not sink into him and his agent that he ain't getting any
more? It's the principal. He's standing up for what he believes in.
Okay.
John. I mean, when you anytime there's a discussion of money, like there, everybody's has a different breaking point when it comes to certain things. And for him, he's at the point where he feels that he feels strongly about his position, and he's not changing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things. None of us can really judge or really understand, because you have to be that person to kind of understand it. Like me and you will look at it and be like, man, I'm not going to miss that money.
Mm-hmm.
But for him, it's bigger than that. And you have to respect that, because we can sit here and talk about it till we're blue in the face, trying to figure out why would you do that. Because the first day last week, John, he missed almost $1 million.
$1 million.
I think it was like 800 and something, odd right. thousand or something. He missed that. He's okay with that. I wouldn't be okay with that.
I would not be okay with that. And it's not going to get any better. That's the point. I mean, if he thinks the Steelers are going to go, oh, you're right, let's come back.
But you know what,
but
John?
They're
let me
not.
Tell you,
you know
let me
that.
Tell you what's going to happen. Like, they're publicly saying how much they're fining him a day. When he comes back, he's going to get some of that money back. I mean, they might take some of it, but they're not. It's going to all is going to be forgiven, and he's not going to miss that money. I can't see them, if he comes back, keeping that money from him. No.
Well, we have that. That's one of those big stories that's out there. And if you're thinking about this week, here are some other big stories. Let's update you on Aaron Rodgers. This is what he said about his knee and his ability to play in that key game for the Packers against the Vikings.
I'm feeling a little better. A little better every day, Monday, Tuesday, and now today. Yeah, I mean, I want to play, obviously. But, you know, just taking it one day at a time, see how it feels tomorrow, and, you know, see how it feels Friday, Saturday, and then hopefully ready to go Sunday.
Yeah, he sounds better.
He'll be ready to go Sunday.
Not on those...
he'll be ready to go Sunday. What's it called? Toradol. Yeah. He'll be ready to go.
Yeah. As long as he's not barking out calls going,
he's not.
Y'all get lined up now. You know.
No, they're not going to give him nothing that strong.
Tom Brady. Here's another one for you. Jalen Ramsey is smack talking, as you know, at the beginning of the year. Jalen Ramsey tore apart before the season all of the quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Okay. And Tom Brady said to be, I think, what did Jalen say? Did anybody remember he said that Tom Brady was just like, okay, he's okay, or something like that?
No, I think he gave Tom Brady love. I think he showed Tom Brady some love.
Yeah, and this time he's, talking about, he said he didn't suck. That's what it was. Oh, Tom Brady don't suck. So Tom Brady said this about Jalen Ramsey's comments, because they're going to ask him.
Ramsey had a lot to say about various quarterbacks around the league. He said, you don't suck. How does it feel to
not suck? To not suck?
Yeah.
I never want to suck, so I don't want to be in that category.
That Ramsey stuff coming around. But that's not his target this week. No, Jalen Ramsey went after Gronk, and Jalen Ramsey went after Gronk hard. Jalen Ramsey, whether you like him or not, is great copy. Here's Jalen Ramsey about Rob Gronkowski.
People call him the best ever, and you're not going there. You're saying, I guess he's good
now. We ain't gonna get it twisted. He's good, but you saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something?
No.
All right then, I don't fear no man. Period. So he gonna have to come out there and line up for me.
I have no problem with anything that came out that young man's mouth.
Nope,
I really don't. He said a lot, and I understand that. You know, he wants to. You know, he's making a name for himself. He's branding himself. I have no problem saying anything. It's amazing to me. Gronk's a great, great player, no question about that. But the greatest to ever do it, I think there'll be a lot of tight ends in line. Antonio Gates out there doing his thing still. Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Ozzie Newsom, Kellen Winslow, it's a lot of cats that put it down that Gronk has that prototypical size and that speed that you want. And he's a matchup nightmare. I have no problem with what Jalen Ramsey said. I really don't.
No, what Jalen went on, he wasn't done yet. Here's more Jalen.
When you play the game of football, I feel like to respect the game, you have to play it fierce. You got to play it. I don't believe in having friends on the field. Like, I mean, if my brother, if my dad, if my mom, grandma was out there, like, it's on. Like, after the game, we can be cool. It doesn't matter. That's how I feel like you got to respect the game of football. Football is not a game meant to be played, being nice to each other and all that, like kumbaya. But after the game's over with, that's cool.
Grandma, get out of my way, Grandma. I got this.
No, I feel him on that. I feel him on that. That's the way I felt when I played. That's the way I felt when I played. I used to sing the Project Pat song, "If you ain't from my hood, you can get from around here." Because if you got the wrong color on game day, then, yeah, it should be like that. Like, you know, all these cats pulling off their jerseys at the end of the game, that's cool. But before the game start, man, listen, you ain't from my hood. You're not a part of my set. You got to go. I got problems with you today.
Yeah, he can talk all the smack he wants. He's a great player, but I will be interesting in that game if Gronk does get free and turns the corner and Jalen's one-on-one with him.
Were times last year that Jalen was one-on-one with Gronk, and Gronk muscled him up.
Yep.
He muscled him.
Yep.
Well, and if you also remember from that playoff game, he had words for Brady before the game even started.
Right, right.
I like his bravado, man. You know, win, lose, or draw as a football player. I mean, you got to, even if you aren't the best, you got to feel like you're the best every time you're out there. You might not be the man, but dang it, when I'm on the field, I'm the man. I'm the man.
By the way, one other quick note here. 102 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame have been announced. A number of guys who have either ties or are former Falcons, including this list. Tony Gonzalez that you mentioned, Hugh. Cornelius Bennett. I got okey-doked by the Alabama SID once about Cornelius Bennett. I went to Alabama and was going to interview. Biscuit's not in the Hall of Fame yet. And I said, does Cornelius have a nickname? He said, yeah, you can call him Corny. And I went, okay. So I got okey-doked. I walk up to him and I say, Corny, do you have a minute? He looked right at me and said, you could call me Biscuit, but you will never, ever call me Corny. I went, I got you.
They set you up.
They set me up.
Because I always knew it to be Biscuit.
He
is Biscuit. Mike Ken, who I can't – you want to talk about not believing he's not in the Hall of Fame? Mike Ken. How is Mike Ken not in the Hall of Fame? Eric Metcalf, Jason Elam, who only had a cup of coffee?
Eric
Jason
Metcalf. Bronco. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
And remember, he came here and wore that 21 right after Deion, boy.
And here's another guy
from Cleveland.
How is Dan Reeves not in the Hall of Fame for all he did for the Falcons and the Broncos?
Because he ain't win the Super Bowl.
Marv Levien? That's who I would compare him to.
I mean, I don't know if Marv Levy's in or not.
Yeah, Marv Levy should probably go before Dan go. Not hating. I'm just saying.
Well, is Bud Grant in?
See, now you're going way back.
I don't
back
think
on
Bud Grant's in.
Yeah.
No. Oh. So some of the members for the – and they'll trim that list, obviously. But
another name on the list is Hines Ward.
Yeah, Hines Ward, Pittsburgh Steelers, Georgia Bulldog.
You know what I remember about Hines Ward, man? We were playing in Pittsburgh. It was a crackback. Boy, he gave me a backyotomy. Yes, Shakaka. I was like, dude, y'all supposed to tell me that's coming. Boy, he was a crack.
Can we find that video?
Oh, no. We ain't looking for that one. But, boy, he lit me up like Christmas tree.
Hey, the Falcons are having a big pep rally tonight at Atlantic Station. Begins at 7:30 p.m. For all fans, it's free at Atlantic Station, 7:30 p.m. A lot of information on our website, 929thegame.com, on our events page. That's the big pep rally, Atlantic Station tonight, beginning at 7:30. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. As we turn the corner here on the Falcons Friday Show, edition of John and Hugh, college football. We'll look ahead to the key games tomorrow next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A complete recap of our Falcons game with Falcons Friday.
You know what I mean?
Our Falcons play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a morning show on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. From the Kia Studios, John and Hugh, as you ride on in, it's going to be what a weekend it's going to be in store for us in and around Atlanta with all the things going on, Falcons and Panthers, I can't believe Atlanta United's finally playing again. We'll get more into United later in the program. Braves, of course, in the final homestand of the regular season, all the college football. And all that college football does remind us, just I know that you as a Georgia fan have heard this. I'm aware of that. But just on the odd chance that there is the one Middle Tennessee fan who has come into town this morning who hasn't, or the Georgia fan who hasn't, Georgia's game time is not 7:15 tomorrow night anymore. It is now noon. They have moved it up. Both Georgia and Clemson. So if you're Georgia Southern and you're going up, or Clemson and you're going up to Clemson, South Carolina, Clemson is no longer a 3:30 start tomorrow. It is a noon start in Clemson, South Carolina for the Eagles and the Tigers. It is a noon start in Athens for the Blue Raiders and the Bulldogs. So, of course, all those other games that were canceled because of Hurricane Florence, but we're just talking about the games locally and how they're impacted. Also tonight, Georgia State takes on Memphis. You can hear that game, the Panthers and the Memphis Tigers, beginning at 6:30 with the pregame show. Dave Cohen on the call, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight for Georgia State and for Memphis. Big game. Georgia State can, find a way to win this
time. In prime time, they can put themselves on the map. I'm pretty sure Coach, after he's, nursing his arm, Coach Elliott is, telling his guys that this is a big game for him. I wonder what he's going to do as far as for celebrations tonight, though, since he ain't had that surgery yet, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's not hearing me, but I'm pretty sure somebody at Georgia State is going to tell him that I'm, still
salty.
Feeling a little hurt, A.T. He ain't tell us he's hurt. He was out there playing hurt. He came on our show playing hurt.
I know, and he didn't tell us.
I respect that, but still, Coach, thought we were bonding.
Well, somebody asked me about that. They said, we were going to ask him about, because we had heard that he was going to have surgery, but that's kind of a private issue. It's a private issue until he goes on ESPN and says, oh, by the way, I was fist pumping and I tore my bicep. Well, okay. You could have maybe dropped that little bit nugget of knowledge on us.
You know what? From now on, we're not going to be nice and cordial. We're just going to have surgery. What you having surgery for? You just start asking personal questions. What's wrong with you?
Hello, Coach. Are you on the injury report this week?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with you? What's the rehab like for that? Definitely. Matter of fact, I'm going to start writing those questions down now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to ask you, man, because I just feel like, we're building this great relationship, and, you withholding information. This is not cool.
The Georgia Bulldogs will get that early start tomorrow noon in Athens between the hedges. Heavily favored against Middle Tennessee State to win this game. But, Kirby Smart, even though they're off to this flying start again, and there's a lot of hope that Georgia will be a 12-0 football team coming to Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and hope for a good reason, because they look like that team. Kirby Smart says there are areas that he wants this team to get better at, and one of those areas is his pass rush. So we'll see if they can get more pass rush, from Kirby Smart and from the Dogs. Here is Coach talking about that.
We're always looking to improve pass rush. I mean, I think that you're never where you need to be, but that's one of the areas we want to improve. Two things have to happen in pass rush. You have to cover them long enough to rush them. You also have to stop the run to force them to pass the ball.
Yeah, well, you do have to do that. You shut down one, force them to be one-dimensional. Middle Tennessee comes into this game. They're 1-1, Hugh. They lost to Vanderbilt 35-7. They beat UT Martin, which the Skyhawks, UT Martin, really a struggling program. And in those two games, they let up 72 points. MTSU doesn't have a whole lot of defense, and they're going to really struggle, I would think, against Jake Fromm and that Georgia attack tomorrow.
I can't believe you really actually breaking down Middle Tennessee's defense. They're going to go out there and get it handed to them. They should, this game should be decided probably in the first quarter. Should be a wrap.
But they're getting paid handsomely for it.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're getting a check. Hey, listen.
$1.7 million.
Bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
$7 million.
The most UGA has ever paid an opponent.
Bring forth the sacrifice. Yeah, you got to pay me to take this beat down. For real.
Wow, $1.7 million. That is a lot for a road team to be able to go in somewhere. $1.7 million.
What was that? Remember that on Any Given Sunday? Was it Any Given Sunday? No, it wasn't Any Given. What's the one with Willie Beeman? Any Given Sunday. When the shark left the field, he's like, give me my $2 million. He was all out. He was left out on the stretcher. Give me my $2 million. Hopefully nobody leaves this game on a stretcher.
Yeah, right.
But they're going to leave with a nice chunky check. Chunky.
Pick that back to Murfreesboro with them. And, that's a program that, hey, listen, it was a 1AA school, improved itself. Middle Tennessee, for those of you who don't know, is in Murfreesboro, just south of Nashville. And they have 40,000-seat stadium on campus. They've been to bowl games. They've, improved their program year over year and build it up into something that, you know, they should be proud of. But this year their team's got defensive issues and they're going up against potentially the best team in the nation. So we'll see how that works out. For Georgia Tech, they go on the road again. This time they go up to Pittsburgh. They have had something with Pittsburgh over the last few years, haven't they? But Pitt's coming off getting drilled by Penn State. Pitt lost last week 51-6 to Penn State. Now, that was one of those games where if you just looked at the score, you would say, Pitt's no good. No, what happened was Penn State blocked punts. There were turnovers. It was one of those kind of games, okay, where reason it got out of hand. Georgia Tech fully expects that this is going to be another slobber knocker. And coming off, again, what happened to them at South Florida, Paul Johnson knows that this opener in the conference has got to have a lot of points of emphasis.
What we've got to do is take care of all the things we haven't done a good job of in the first couple of games. One is the turnovers, and two, you know, in the last game, our kicking game was not very good.
Not very good. Yeah, that's polite. You give up two touchdowns on kick returns and back-to-back kicks. Yeah, that's...
And that young man was flying, though, John. That young man was wide open.
Yeah, well, they were saying Terrence Horn of South Florida, freshman, two back-to-back, right? They started squib kicking it, and everybody who plays South Florida will probably squib kick it.
No, he'll never see that again. He'll never have a day like that because nobody's going. They're going to have to be creative to try to figure out how to get him the ball.
Yeah, that kid stays healthy, and they're saying U.S. Olympic team 100 meters. That's who he is.
Yeah, burnt. He got some speed.
He is sub 10-2. Yeah, that is a flying. You know, so I mean, Georgia Tech really could use a win in conference, get the sting of South Florida out of the way. And
yeah, and then Pittsburgh coming off of that L that they took last week. Mm-hmm. They got beat down.
A lot of games to go through. A lot of big games of college football ahead. What will happen in some of the big games like LSU-Auburn or Ohio State-TCU? Is it all about the Buckeyes? We're going to make our picks on some of the key games next as we count down on a big Falcons Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.